Hello, everybody. Welcome into the county seat in downtown Lillington. We want to welcome you into Camel Call Live, as this is our live recording of our podcast that we do every other Monday here at the county seat in downtown Lillington. We've got two for one tonight, as we will be talking golf on this Masters Week with our men's golf team as they tune up for the CAA tournament, which, believe it or not, starts in 2 weeks. And in the second half of our show, we'll be talking women's lacrosse as the team gets set to head to the Northeast to take on Delaware and Monmouth this weekend. A lot of great stuff going on in Buies Creek this week. Our men's tennis team at home this Wednesday and Thursday. And this weekend, three-game series for both our softball and baseball teams. Softball, second place in the CAA right now, will take on Charleston. Baseball, just two games out of first place. They will take on Stony Brook. And to top it all off, our spring football game is also this weekend, Saturday at noon. Free admission for all. So much going on in Buies Creek. For more information, go to GoCamels.com. We will start the show today with our men's golf team. Such an unbelievably rich history. 9 conference championships, 14 NCAA regional bids, multiple PGA Tour, European Tour players, and we were reminded recently of how great these former Camels are when they turned professional. 3 weeks ago, former Camel Jesper Svensson won the Porsche Singapore Classic in a three-hole playoff on the DP World Tour. That is the European Tour, the best tour in Europe and beyond. He was in the top three on the season in the leaderboard. And also, we got to celebrate a couple of weeks ago freshman Erik Johansson as he won the Seahawk Intercollegiate with a final round 66. Erik is just a freshman. He already has a tournament win, and he is joining us right now on stage as we record this live podcast. And Erik, first of all, it seems like a lot, but what went so right for you to win your first tournament as a collegian?
Thank you. I think just I feel like all my hard work just kind of got into that last round. Especially the first two rounds were consistent, but the last one, I feel like I really strived, and I believe that I don't know. All just everything just went well, right?
And what a time to win your first collegiate. It's a transition, although you have played a very high amateur level over in Europe. You've played a lot of different countries, a lot of different tournaments. You are one of the top-ranked golfers in your country. What was it like adjusting to college golf over here in the States?
It was different, no doubt. Just the biggest difference from back home is that everyone here is really trying. Like, everyone is trying to get to that professional level, whereas back home you have some of the people are just there to have a little fun, right? And then others, like myself, were trying to get to the States, trying to really, really better our game. But coming here for me was just it was perfect because I had like my team and my teammates. I think they helped me a lot because they are part of that group that wants to go professional, and I mean, we play all the time. And then having two amazing coaches as well, who with a lot of, well, at least one of them has a lot of experience, but my assistant coach, he's laughing at me now, but he's also a great asset.
Well, we talk about the former Camels that are playing professionally. There are so many that are coaching at such a high level, including it's such a great connection. A former Camel golfer is your coach in Matt Moot. Talk about how special that is and what he does and brings to you guys as a coach.
He, I think it's almost as if he's part of the team. He brings that extra kind of friendly feeling. Like our head coach, John Crooks, he's great. He knows what he's talking about, but he's like, it's hard for him to sort of relate to us in that way.
No doubt.
And I think Matt does a great job with that. Coach Moot, he's obviously a very talented coach, but also just a great friend, if you will.
We talk about how the team is always so fantastic. It's made up of so many players from all around the world. We're going to talk to your teammate who's from Norway a little later. You're from Sweden. What is it like for this team to have such an international flavor?
I think it's awesome. You get a little bit of the best of everything, like all parts of the world. And then we have one American, which is great. He brings that little extra, gives us the American vibe. But also, like, we're a lot of, especially, like, if you look at our team, it's a lot of Swedish people or players, and also Norwegian. And, like, we're neighboring countries. We can speak the same language. So we help each other a lot in just day-to-day stuff, not only golf, but just like to have a good time, socialize.
That was a question I'm going to ask you. You know, you might have met some, but a lot of Americans do know where Norway and Sweden are and that they're right next to each other. So it seems like, is it a friendly country rivalry, or is there some sort of rivalry with Norway and Sweden?
I think it's between Norway and Sweden, it's mostly friendly. I know the Swedish and Denmark, they have a bit of a more actual rivalry, but no, the Norwegians, we're great, I think. We have a good time.
Obviously, there has been a Swedish connection with this program on both the men's and women's side for some time, but how did you personally find out about Campbell Golf and get yourself halfway across the world to Buies Creek?
Right, so I was playing. I knew about, like, some of the players here, so I've heard about the place before, but it was after playing, I played a tournament in Germany called the German Boys. And after that, they actually DM'd me on Instagram and contacted me, which I thought was great, because that, like, for me, that meant that they were interested. Because I feel like, at least, unless you're very high tier junior golfer, you need to, like, send emails and do most of the work yourself. But for them to come ask me to play for their team, that made me feel very welcomed, and yeah, I felt great.
And amazing too, isn't it? So the first contact came through Instagram.
Right, yeah.
Now that you have got here to Buies Creek, you've almost finished up your freshman year, which I know is hard to believe because the time flies. What do you like about Campbell and this place?
I think it's I like that it's a kind of a smaller university, and I think that at least when you think about, like, the professors and stuff like that, you're more than just a number, like you're a name, right? They know you, and just I feel like it's quite almost like a family in the Creek, and also, like, the team and essentially everyone.
Yeah.
Here, just like, you can talk with anyone, and from, like, a golf perspective, Campbell is great because we got a golf course nearby, and one that, I mean, you don't need to get a car, because that's usually what you need here in the States. You need a car to get around, but I can just walk to the course very easily. Everything is nearby, so that's the best part about Campbell University. Yeah.
We were talking about it too, that it's about 75 degrees out there right now. It looks like it's going to be 75 degrees for the next couple of weeks. I would assume the golfing weather better here in Buies Creek, North Carolina, than back in Sweden.
Yeah, no doubt. That's, I'd say, almost the main reason you go to the States to play golf is because of the weather, at least for us in the northern part of Europe. Back home, it's so funny. We have this thing called, we call it April weather. I don't know if it's a thing in here, but it's where one day it can be pretty good, and then the other day it can be awful. So I was talking with my mom earlier today, and she told me that, like, yesterday they had a big snowstorm, and then today it was like 70 degrees out of nowhere. So it's, I'd say primarily it's best, like, maybe 2 months ago, 1 month ago, because then it's, like, actually terrible in Sweden. But now it's doable, but it's still way better here.
Tell me about where you're from. You told me about the weather. Tell me about where you're from, if from in Sweden, and what's it like there?
Yeah, so I'm from the most southern part of Sweden. So I'm a little biased when I say that you can play now. I would have been able to play, but yeah. If you live up north, you definitely can't. But it's big, a lot of golfing. I say we're it's a pretty big golfing country, Sweden in general, but especially down south, there's a lot of golf going on. And that's, yeah.
What do you miss about back home?
Ooh, obviously miss my family, gotta say that.
Yeah. You know?
But I have some, well, I have some friends that I miss, but it, like, in terms of the country in itself, I don't know. I miss, every once in a while, I miss the, like, just, I live kind of close to the beach.
Yeah.
I miss just, like, seeing the sea or almost just, like, maybe being on the beach.
Right. And not too terribly far away from here. And I imagine, too, you probably miss some food. What are the are the things that either we can't replicate here or we don't do as well as they do in Sweden?
I think you would expect me to say meatballs.
That's what one of the women's golf team said, and I thought she was pulling my leg. And then she said, no, seriously, the Swedish meatballs are as good as advertised.
No, they are very good. But it's something that I miss. I can sometimes miss a... And like just a, you know, a shrimp sandwich kind of?
Yeah.
Like that's, at least where I'm from, that's like the, one of the things we do best.
Yes, they have a very good one right here at the county seat. Perfect segue there as well. Thank you for
I'll have
You'll
that
have
one.
Try that tonight. Yep, it's good. What have you found here over in the States that you love, either food-wise or something else that now you're going to miss when you go back this summer to Sweden?
Free refills. Yeah. it's big. That's good. It's one of the, obviously there's a lot of things that I love here,
yeah.
But something in particular that's, it feels pretty good to just, like, you can drink however much
that's
soda
right.
you want, kind of.
That's right. Over here, both you guys and the golf team, always great athletes, but always great students as well. What are you majoring on, and what do you want to do after hopefully a long pro golf career?
Yeah, so I'm majoring in, I'm doing business management, which I, obviously I'm interested in. But if, that's one of the like best parts about college golf really is if you think about it, you always have that backup plan. I feel like in a lot of other sports, you sort of, like you either you try professional and then if it that doesn't work, you will have to go back to school. But here you can sort of do both. Which makes us very like fortunate. We're very lucky, and well, hopefully I'll be a golfer, right? And then after I've played my golf, I probably won't have to do anything else. But I could see myself being like a real estate, you know, the one that sells the houses.
Yeah,
I don't know the word, but
definitely the realtor, as we call it over here.
There you go.
Well, that's fantastic. And back to the golf on the course. You, of course, a couple weeks ago winning. You've had multiple top 15 finishes this year. Incredible as a freshman. What are your thoughts for you and the team as you look at the CAA tournament going on?
Thank you. We're working very hard right now. We have like. Really only one focus, which is the CAA championship. And I think we've established or we've seen what we need to work on from the tournaments we've had and our finishes. And we're putting our focus on that one. And then I think it's just it's a lot of mental, just sort of like the team coming together saying that, okay, let's do this, you know? And I think our coaches, they do a good job of keeping us focused on that main goal as well.
Well, good luck in that. It will start off in just a couple of weeks. When we come back in the break, we'll talk to one of your teammates. This has been Erik Johansson. Erik, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you for having us.
We'll be back with more men's golf coming up after the break. This is Camel Call Live from the county seat in downtown Lillington. Thank you, everyone, for being here at Camel Call Live. We are talking men's golf. It is Masters Week. We are getting ready for the conference tournament on both the women's and the men's side. The women's right now are in Chattanooga fighting for another top five finish. And joining me now from the men's team, Joachim Larsson-Tegner, Joey for short, which thank you, Coach Moot. I know you gave him that name since he's been in your program. And another freshman that has just been fantastic so far this year. He has enjoyed four top 15 finishes. He finished in the top five earlier this year at the Battle of Briars Creek. And we'll start there, Joey. Your freshman year full of success. How have you thought it has gone as you continue here?
Thank you so much. But yeah, it's obviously been an amazing year, amazing freshman year. I've enjoyed it so much so far, and I'm really excited for the next couple of years. But it's been a great year on the golf course and off the golf course.
What has been the biggest transition you have had to make from your amateur golf to here, a different level of amateur here in the States for college?
The level here of golf, it's so high, especially from, like, Norway is a small country, not a lot of players, but over here it's so much competition. The players are really good, and yeah, it's been difficult, but...
Tell me about where you're from in Norway. Lier, is that right? Okay,
yeah.
Lier in Norway. Tell me about where you're from and what life is like there.
Life in Norway is pretty amazing. I mean, in the summer is really good. We have winter. It's, yeah, pretty good as well. But, yeah, I love being in Norway.
How did you get into golf? How did you fall in love with this game?
It was obviously my dad who brought me the first time on the course. And, yeah, basically my whole family is playing golf. And I saw my cousins growing up, and they were really good, and I like wanted to beat them so bad. So yeah, it's been a journey, and seeing my whole family plays.
And your spin on the Norway-Sweden rivalry, from your view on that side, is it a friendly one?
I wouldn't say that. No. We're friendly. I love the Swedish players, and yeah.
How much fun is it to be a part? You know, we talk about you all are so close to the women's team because you're practicing at the same spot. John Crooks, the legend, Hall of Famer, he has been a coach for both the men's and women's team for decades and decades. Of course, Matt Moot working primarily with the men and everything. How is it being a part of what is just a big international family?
I love it. Obviously, like, the first couple of weeks was a little bit tough to, like, settle down, but having, like, the Swedish players as well, speaking, like, kind of my own language was helping me a lot. But, yeah, it's basically a family, and
Campbell does such a good job of international recruiting. We were talking about the professionals that are all over all the tours. Really all over the world. There's an interesting thing. Stan Cold, a longtime sports information director for golf, always says the sun never sets on Campbell Golf because there's someone in pretty much every time zone. When you see guys that, you know, have been here just a little bit ago, I mean Jesper, I mean, he was here where you were sitting doing interviews just a few years ago. When you see these guys not only get on tour but to do so well and win, how does that make you all feel?
It's so inspiring to see that, like, recent Campbell players have reached or come so far, and yeah, winning on the tours is pretty amazing to see.
It's inspiring.
Inspiring, and yeah.
And one of the many reasons I know that you all know Campbell Golf. It's interesting. A DM through Instagram was the first step for the recruitment of your teammate. How did your recruitment go?
I met actually Ashley and Coach Crooks during the British Boys in Scotland.
And that's one of the biggest tournaments in Europe for amateurs, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. I met them there, and I talked a lot to Ashley via email and WhatsApp, and
Yeah, so through an app as well with email and WhatsApp you got over here. What attracted you to Buies Creek and this great golf program?
I mean, it was a small school, which is good. Like, you get really close with the teachers and stuff like that, and having the golf course so close by is pretty good, and the facilities are good. So,
How has your game improved as you have gone through this first freshman year here for Campbell?
I think mentally, really, been it's been a lot better mentally, and every part of the game, to be honest, like, has improved. And yeah,
what do you like about the coaching staff here?
I love them. they're good. They're great. Great. Yeah, I love Coach Brooks, and Matt is, I would say, one of the boys. so that's really good.
We have talked about too, when we had the women's golf team here, they were talking about, you know, not only does Campbell own a golf course in Keith Hills, you know, not only is it 27 holes, but it's also within walking distance and that. But it's a special place with so many different places to practice as well, isn't it? Tell me about your home course.
My home course is, we have 18 holes. I would say is the best golf course in Norway.
Yeah.
It's kind of in the field, but with a lot of trees, so it's kind of in the woods as well. But it has some great facilities there as well.
So, gosh, you'll feel right at home when you're playing the black and orange courses here. So many woods.
I would say, yeah.
finally, I will ask you about your studies inside the classroom too. What are you studying after a hopefully long pro golf career? What do you hope to be doing?
I have a business administration. I will say my main goal is to become a professional golfer, but it's good to have that education on the side as well.
No doubt. You're going to hopefully have to know what to do with a lot of very big checks. So hopefully they have they have a class for that. And finally, I'll ask you the same thing that I ask Eric. You guys getting ready for your first conference tournament, your team really fine-tuning, and a lot of good finishes, back-to-back top five finishes for you all as a team, which is just incredible. What is your focus and your team's focus going on to this final stretch?
We're working really hard for this, and yeah, stabilizing the whole game of golf from, I'll say all around.
And it's going to be quite fun. The first time ever, Campbell, of course, in the CAA. So the championship, believe it or not, we are done with all of the tournaments. The conference championship, April 21st through the 23rd at St. Helena Island in South Carolina. Joey, thank you so much for taking time. Welcome to Campbell. We are so glad you're here. And also two of the tallest golfers I've ever seen. Matt Mood has put together a basketball team as well, as far as height has gone, as he knows he might win an intramural crown again this year as well. Thank you so much. Thank you for stopping by.
Thanks for having us.
All right, Campbell Call Live will roll on. We're going to be talking women's lacrosse as we will take a look into the women's lacrosse team that's coming up in the second half hour of the show. You're listening to Campbell Call Live from the county seat in downtown Lillington. Welcome back to Campbell Call Live from the county seat in downtown Lillington. We had a fun first half hour talking men's golf, and now we are going to have a fun next half hour talking women's lacrosse. And joining me now is the head coach of women's lacrosse. Dawn Easley is in her 11th year at Campbell, coming off a 2023 season with a program record for overall and conference wins, reaching the conference tournament final for the second time in program history, as she has literally built this Division I program from scratch. And, Coach, it's hard to believe, first of all, that there's only four matches left in this season, your first in the CAA. When you think about your team, what do you really like about this group, your group here in 2024?
The group that we have right now is a really gritty group, and the fifth years that we have that came back, they were a part of the first COVID year. And when they left for COVID, they kept talking about how they wanted to build a championship caliber team. And so when they left that year, they worked hard. They were committed to the process. They're committed to the values of the program. And over the last 4 years, they've really been committed to leaving a legacy of a great culture and then also winning.
And amazing what they have gone through. You're talking about these fifth years, the college, their college experience started so awkwardly. You literally in the middle of your season, everybody go home, the season's over. They came back. We're in the transfer portal era as well. The fact that you have as many upperclassmen and fifth-year seniors, that says something about the culture that you built here.
It does. We had 11 seniors who graduated last year, and five of those seniors came back. No one left to go transfer to another institution, but we had five girls who wanted to come back and do their fifth year at Campbell to play women's lacrosse.
Just amazing. And Coach, when you think too, it's interesting because I'm looking out at your wonderful family that you brought here, taking time out. I knew your oldest son when he was 3 years old. And again, it doesn't seem like we have both been here so long. I was here a couple years before you, but 11 years. When you think about how your family has changed, how Campbell has changed, and how this program has changed, It blows your mind a little bit, doesn't it?
It does. Sometimes I'll think about where we came from, and you and I shared a bathroom.
Yes, we did.
We had offices across from each other. I used to bring my 3-year-old son, who's now 13, to the office with me. We were at the top of the White House, and now we were sharing a locker room with soccer and with football. So yeah. We were going back and forth, and to just watch the transformation, not just of women's lacrosse, just the transformation of Campbell Athletics in itself has been very just transformative and encouraging to see how far we've really come as an institution in athletics.
It is hard to believe now because your team, your program, women's lacrosse is such a part of Campbell now in every single way and all the success you've had. But when the first lacrosse game came to Buies Creek just a little over a decade ago, there were many, many people working the game, and I was one of them, that had never seen a women's lacrosse game as well, you know, ever. And now the fact that it's such ingrained in a culture, and you have seen how it has grown. People that you have tutored and people that have come here and have played for you are now coaching in these high schools and these clubs, which high school and club lacrosse was not a thing in very many places in North Carolina. That has to be something, a point of pride that touches your heart as well.
Lacrosse is growing rapidly, and Campbell's name in the lacrosse world is really coming up, and kids come to our camps because they want to be a part of Campbell Lacrosse. But to give you an idea of how much lacrosse has grown in the area, when I first got here, you really had to go to Cary to really find some players who even wanted to stay close to home. Now we're recruiting kids who are in the south part of Wake County who are just 30 minutes from here, who were sharing the same restaurants, we're going to the same places, who are wearing their area lacrosse shirts at the restaurants. And so we're recruiting kids who are just down the street who actually want to come to stay close to home. We have a kid who's coming next year who is from Holly Springs, and she's an incredible player, and that's just not down the road from here. So lacrosse has grown considerably in the 10 years that I've been in the area.
And it's been so fun to see what you have built. You will never use this as an excuse, but I'm looking at one of the best players in Campbell lacrosse history who has been injured and will not come back from you this year. I look at four losses by four or less goals. I look at you putting together the toughest non-conference schedule that you ever have, and you are a couple bounces away from being 7-6 right now. I know that is something that when you have to look at about how close you have been this year and how much your team has fought, it has to bring you pride as well.
Yeah, losing our two top scorers from last year is heartbreaking, to say the least. But when Campbell decided to go into the CAA, I knew from a lacrosse standpoint it was going to be a massive shift, and it was going to be a massive shift in a lot of ways. And I also knew it was going to be a growing opportunity. Putting together a competitive schedule with some tough teams was intentional on my part because I felt like if we were going to start attracting those kids, that we need to start putting ourselves in those faces. And we have done that, and it has been hard. But to give you an idea of how tough the CAA is, they send anywhere between 2 and 3 teams to the NCAA every year. It's not just an AQ. And so, and if you look at the majority of the games last year, except for a few, the majority of them are between a 1 and a 4 goal deficit difference. And that means it's a very competitive conference. And so, and we're right there with them. But it was very intentional on our part to make sure that we are being as competitive as we can be, especially in that first year. It's such a the growth is immense, but we're very committed to it, and so are the girls.
Well, and what we try to tell people is the CAA not only a pretty good mid-major women's lacrosse conference. It's one of the best women's lacrosse conference. You've played a team in conference that I think ranked in the top 15, a couple others receiving votes. You're playing ranked teams in conference each and every week. What is it like going up against that competition in this new conference that you knew would be a challenge?
What is it like? It's fun, for one, because you get to see these great athletes compete at such a great level, and it's a learning opportunity also for all of us. I told one of my players today, I feel like I have grown so much this year as a coach, just being able to, you know, put together scouts that really challenge me to make sure that I'm doing my job to figure out how to get the most out of our athletes, even when we're going through some of the toughest times. So it's fun, but it's also just been a great learning opportunity for everybody.
We're going to talk to one of your fifth-year seniors when Jocelyn comes up here. You said you have a great story about how she got into this program to begin with.
Yeah, so Jocelyn is one of our fifth years, and I love telling the story about how Jocelyn got to Campbell because it just kind of encompasses what our fifth years are really all about. Jocelyn spent her freshman year at another institution, so she entered the transfer portal right during COVID. And within the first 2 weeks of COVID, we're at home, Jocelyn's in the transfer portal, we're reaching out to kids, and we had not really put together yet a real tour, like a Zoom tour, you know? So two of my assistants get Jocelyn on Zoom, and they're taking their phone in the golf cart, and they're driving around campus, all bumps included, and they're showing Jocelyn the tour campus on a Zoom call. One of the worst tours we've ever given, ever. But we hadn't put together like a quality film yet. And Jocelyn came to Campbell. She chose Campbell. I'm not really sure what it was based on, but she came on that Zoom, really bad Zoom tour, had never stepped on campus one time until that following fall. And she's been here ever since, and she stayed for a fifth year, and she's coming back for a sixth year.
And she will be our guest coming up a little longer on this segment. We have talked about how you have built this program from scratch here at Campbell and built this culture. It's interesting, isn't it, as I look out at your family here, I look over at my family. Probably a decade ago, we didn't think we would both be here, both talking to each other in that. But how special is this place to you and your family? Your husband now is a fixture at the basketball scorers table. As he is helping the stat crew with everything, it really truly is a family affair, isn't it?
It is. This community means a lot to our family. We're involved in the community in a lot of different ways. My husband's a teacher at the high school, and then my kids are in the school system. They get off the school bus right on campus. You know, we're involved in church. My husband's the youth pastor, so we're so involved in the community. But Campbell has been so great to us. As our family, you know, the different traveling that we have to try to do and the support that we get, it's just been incredible and a great place to raise your children. And I'm very, very thankful to Campbell for that.
And I am too. Okay, all right, you have four matches left in the regular season. The CAA, one of the other challenges are you're not just going down the road to Presbyterian now. You guys are getting on the bus and going to Delaware. You'll play Monmouth up in West Long Branch, New Jersey, all over a weekend. Talk about the challenge of the travel and what you all will face coming up this weekend in your opponents.
Travel is different. Being gone for 4 days, but you know, being on a bus for 6 to 8 hours or getting on a plane is a new challenge for us. We're learning with it this year, trying to figure out what to do, what not to do. I feel like we've done a pretty good job of learning what previous sports have done and asking them a lot of questions to make sure we don't fall into those same troubles. But the travel is very different. But it's also an opportunity to get in front of kids who are playing lacrosse. So lacrosse is big in the Northeast. And so being able to travel to Stony Brook, travel to Drexel, travel to Monmouth, travel to Delaware, we're getting in front of kids who live and breathe lacrosse and have been playing since they were 3 years old. And so it gives us an opportunity to market ourselves differently than we were in the Big South.
No doubt. And you will take on both Delaware coming up this Friday at 4. That'll be on Lacrosse TV. At Monmouth Sunday at noon on Flow Sports. And then you finally come back home. I know your family will probably, because it seems like you've been on the road for the last 2 months. The scheduling did not do you any favors.
I know Joe feels that way for sure.
I know. But finally back home, April 20th. Military Appreciation and Alumni Day. Saturday, April 20th at noon, and then Saturday, April 27th, Senior Day at noon against William and Mary. We hope to see you out there. For more information, go to GoCamels.com. But we will talk to one of your fifth-year seniors when we come back after the break. Coach, thank you so much for taking time, you and your family, to come on out.
Thank you, Chris.
That's Coach Don Easley. We will be back with our final segment, talking more women's lacrosse. We come back after the break. This is Camel Call Live from the county seat in downtown Lillington. Welcome back to the county seat. This is Camel Call Live in downtown Lillington. Each and every week we have a show in the middle of the week. We will drop this on this episode on the Camel Call podcast on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Joining me now, a fifth-year senior from Florida here at Campbell, Jocelyn Hanbury, as she last year had her best year ever as a Campbell Camel, 30 goals and 11 assists last year. This year, she already has 25 goals and 14 assists for the team. She also has been a member of the conference presidential honor roll all 3 years she has been in the program. And Jocelyn, it has been a long journey. You talk about going somewhere, having COVID happen, taking a Zoom tour of the campus. Now, what do you remember from being recruited?
I remember a lot of conversations with Coach, of course, and the other assistants that were there at the time, but kind of a lot of heartfelt conversations with Coach and knowing that coming from one school, what I was looking for and the school that I was transferring for, and Coach was able to tell me all about Campbell, and it was the perfect fit.
Oh, when you think back to that time, what really attracted you to this place, to this program?
I had a lot of conversations. I DM'd a lot of the current players on Instagram. Juliana Sanchez was one of the major ones that kind of spoke about the culture and kind of what Campbell Lacrosse was all about, so that definitely had my interest. And then again, being able to talk to Coach a lot about what she was looking for in a player and what I was looking for in my new school, and it fit perfectly.
And your coach talks about what a bond you fifth-year seniors have, and you have gone through so much. Really, the most successful four-year stretch in the history of Campbell women's lacrosse. Just incredible. What makes that group special?
I think we've faced a lot of adversity together. I wasn't here at Campbell when their seasons got cut short, but we talked a lot about it and how it was different for everyone. And then we had a lot of adversity when we got back, kind of navigating the new world after COVID, and we were practicing in pods and doing a lot of stuff that we weren't used to and kind of getting a lot of our social activities through just practice when normally you try to hang out outside. But yeah, that brought us very close together, and then I think we bonded a lot over making the decision to come back and play for 5 years, so that definitely brought us together.
Well, what went into that decision? So many of you wanting to come back this year, the first year in the CAA.
Yeah. I mean, for me especially, I got incredibly close with the girls in the class below me. My roommates are a huge reason why I'm still here, and we kind of push each other to be the best we can, especially on the field, and me with the fifth years and then with the girls below me and every year that come in, we really bond over being able to better ourselves on the field. And I think that it's hard to not sign up to come back for another year.
No doubt. What do you like about this team, the 2024 version of Campbell Women's Lacrosse?
I think that we're incredibly close. We had a big freshman class coming in, and it's always not a challenge, but a learning curve for them, and like being able to see them from where they started at the beginning of this year and kind of see where they're at now. It's a journey for sure. This year we faced a lot of adversity again, but not anything that we shy away from. And it's easy to say yes to come back.
Yeah. With the injuries that you all have had this year, how difficult was it to reset and then do what you have been with a run of a success? You know, still battling, still fighting in that. What was that like?
Incredibly difficult, and it still is. I'm no stranger to injury myself. I've had plenty of knee surgeries and scheduled a surgery for after the season, too. But I think that we have a lot of girls playing through injury, and the girls that did end up going down with things that they weren't able to play through, it's incredibly hard, but it kind of brings some people off the bench, and it kind of like builds their toolbox. Shea Saraceno is one that comes to mind. She actually did struggle with a lot of injury, but she came through openings on the field. She was able to really up her game, and she's been incredible in helping the offense kind of try to make up for where we are lacking with number one and two over there.
What is it like mentoring, like you said, such a talented but big group of freshmen?
It's awesome. I mean, they're kind of eager to learn, and we have a lot of fun on the field, and we kind of know when to lock in and make adjustments, but also to, like, know when we're having a good time. So I think we're able to kind of find the right balance between working hard and making sure that they're buying into the culture, but also getting a lot of work done.
We have talked a lot about it because it's just sort of ingrained. I know what the women's lacrosse culture is. Of course, Coach Easley does. Well, what is it like to you guys when you're trying to say it to someone or talk to these freshmen about what they're going to experience and what they become a part of?
We always say that the only people that know about us are the people that are in it with us, the girls that are on the field when we're in the locker room watching film. It's kind of hard to put it into words, but I think when the freshmen come in, they find out very soon that what the culture is and how close we're going to be and how hard we're going to work together. So you just got to come find out.
You are from Florida originally. Talk about Florida lacrosse and how did you fall in love with this great game?
I was a cheerleader for 9 years before I picked up a lacrosse stick. It was the only physical sport I had ever played, which was very interesting. I started playing going into my freshman year of high school, and
wow, that's the first time you picked up a lacrosse stick. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, getting, it's definitely a different type of sport for sure. And the lacrosse down there is not very advanced. The game's growing everywhere, but the southern states are definitely the ones that are kind of last to pick it up. And my high school was the only all like public school that was able to make it to state tournaments for the most part. So it was kind of, we all lived within the same four neighborhoods and were able to put it together. And we were often playing your American Heritages and like the people that kind of recruit in the private schools. So it was really interesting, and we were able to better ourselves in high school. So it was interesting.
The answer to this question might be nothing, but how did your cheerleading help you with your what has been a very successful lacrosse career?
I was a flyer, so I fell a lot in cheerleading, and I fall a lot now, so.
It was a non-contact sport, and this is supposed to be a non-contact sport, but as we know, okay, so you learned how to fall being a flyer. Both dangerous sports, by the way. So as we talked about, the CAA, one of the best women's lacrosse conferences around, period. What has it been like for you all on the field playing in this new conference?
It's incredible. Obviously, the competition is a lot better, and it's kind of weird. When I started watching lacrosse, I was watching Duke and all the teams that we're facing and was like, wow, this is crazy. And being able to play ranked teams, I think, has just made us better and has prepared us for being in the CAA going forward.
And it's a challenge, even though you knew it would be more difficult, and I've found this with the majority of the teams. It's a challenge that you all wanted. You all take it head on. You like the challenge of being in a tougher conference.
Absolutely, yeah. We kind of pride ourselves in not shying away from adversity and for doing hard work, and we definitely have to work hard to be in the mix of this conference. So the hard work is still happening and will happen for the years to come.
Delaware and Monmouth. Let's talk about what you have to do to get prepared for a trip like this to go out and succeed.
Yeah, it's a lot of film, a lot of preparing your bodies and stuff, all those the long travel days. This year was the first year that we flew, so that was a learning curve, of course. We were definitely tired after that trip, but I think that trip kind of set us up for what we all know individually what we need to do to be able to travel that far in that four-day span. The Friday-Sunday is also difficult, but being able to balance the, like, the physical fatigue and the mental fatigue. And like when we have hard practices or the day after a game, we know kind of to put it aside and have to focus on the game coming up. So I think it's shown a lot to our coach's ability to scout and plan practices that kind of balance the physical and mental aspect of the game.
Yeah, playing on Friday and Sunday, I mean, that is something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge, but again, we love a challenge, so.
We've talked about how she's built the program. You've been around her for a while now. What makes Coach Easley special?
I have never had to question whether she wanted our best interest. She genuinely cares about each and every player on and off the field, and I think that makes it really easy for us to buy into what she's saying and her vision for stuff. So not ever having to question whether she had our backs, which is incredible.
You will, after this long road trip, finally come back and play on the next two weekends here at home, Towson and William & Mary, for the final two matches of the year. What makes it special playing back in the Creek?
We love Barker Lane. We say it all the time. We have a DBL Defend Barker Lane. It's great, and we've had more crowds than I would say in the past couple years, so that's incredible, and it's nice being able to wake up, head to your own home, and kind of lace up the cleats and play.
Four matches left. Redshirt senior, fifth year, senior year. Your thoughts as you kind of look ahead to the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, four games. It's crazy that my career could have ended in four games, but I'm going to come back and play next year as well for a sixth year. So kind of incredibly sad to be missing the fifth years that are going to graduate, but knowing that my work isn't done. And I think I've just kind of hit my stride as a player, and I think I have a lot more to give to the team, and excited to do that.
I'm excited, too. Did we just break news here today on the podcast? Yeah. All right. Well, congratulations. Yeah. That is awesome. Thank you for all you have done, both on and off the field, and coming back for another year. You have to come right back here.
Oh, absolutely.
Next year as well. So the final two home matches of this season coming up April 20th at noon against Towson, and Senior Day, April 27th, noon as well against William & Mary. Johnson, thank you so much for spending the time. That'll do it for this edition of Camel Call Live. A special thanks to our men's golf team, our women's lacrosse team, and a special thanks for you two coming out. We'll be back here at the county seat in 2 weeks. Have a great week, everybody. Good night.